A crazy week on Wall Street. What can we expect today from clues we're getting around the world?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. With stock markets around the world in mixed territory today, analysts here in the U.S. are somewhat hopeful for the coming day on Wall Street, at least that the losses won't be so bad. Morning after morning, we tell you how overseas markets are doing and what all that might mean for the day ahead in the U.S. But in times like these, who's really leading the way? Here's Marketplace's Jeff Horwich.
Being Americans, it's tempting to think of the relationship between our stock market and its global counterparts like a dog wagging its tail. In truth, it's more like a dog chasing its tail. We watch them, they watch us, round and round we all go. Overnight futures markets help us all read each other in real time. Still, conventional wisdom holds that the U.S., by dint of sheer size, tends to lead the way.
People talk about, you know, the ascendancy of Asia and so forth. But in terms of markets, I think the U.S. still dominates.
Rob Carnell is an international economist at ING. He says there are times when European markets set the tone. And this morning, with hopes for relief from debt issues in Italy and France, is one of those.
Really, the big story at the moment is Europe. And if Europe is moving forward, and it is right now, there's a lot of green on the screen suggesting stocks are going up rather than down, then that should also be reflected in U.S. markets later today.
Carnell says all global markets tend to move together over time, but on any given day, the dog can quit chasing its tail and start chasing the latest shiny object thrown out by the news cycle. I'm Jeff Horwich for Marketplace.
So let's do the numbers. European shares are mixed at the moment. The German DAX index has added about 1%, but French shares are down. Asian shares dropped today, no doubt following the lead of Wall Street, where the Dow gave back all of its gains from Tuesday and then some. The index plummeted 519 points to close at 10,719. President Obama heads to Michigan today to talk about what can be done to create jobs. He'll visit a plant in Holland, Michigan, that's adding 150 jobs with the help of some energy grants. The United States has imposed new financial sanctions on Syria. Reports say the White House is edging ever so close to an outright call for the president there, Bashar al-Assad, to resign. Now, that's after Syrian security forces used violent crackdowns against protesters who were revolting against Assad's authoritarian rule. Angus Blair is head of research and corporate strategy at Beltone Financial. He's covered business in the Middle East, including Syria, for more than 18 years. Good morning.
Hello.
How will the latest U.S. moves put pressure on President Assad and the Syrian economy?
The sanctions have had so far minimal effect, basically because this uprising that's been taking place has now been a few months in the making. The economy itself has become quite badly hit because of internal displacement of capital and of people. Most people have stopped spending and moving around the country. So at the moment, the sanctions are limited.
Assad, I know, uses his stranglehold on the economy to hold on to power. I mean, do you think economic pressure will break his authority there?
No. The breakage of his authority will come from within Syria itself, and that will come from whatever happens across the country in terms of people saying enough is enough.
I know, Angus, the U.S. has put sanctions on other economies and on other national banks. Does it seem to work?
Not really. Not these days. I think the issue is whenever there is an uprising against leaders, people want to be able to do this on their own, because then people can say that whatever happens, it's been up to the nationals to have that answer rather than from some kind of international intervention.
Angus Blair from Beltone Financial, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. By Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kelley.iu.edu.
Well, it's been a tough time for arts funding all around the country. In recent years, the Cleveland area has found a unique way to fund its arts, and it's paying off big. From the reporting project Changing Gears, Dan Bobkoff has a story.
Meet Samantha Kane, arts patron.
How much do you smoke?
In a week, I probably smoke like 2 or 3 packs.
Kane's smoking at a bus stop. Since 2006, each cigarette she buys contributes a penny and a half to Cuyahoga County's arts and cultural organizations. She's okay with that.
Instead of padding congressmen's pockets.
Those cigarettes add up. Arts groups here got $15 million for this year alone. Those tax dollars help support the orchestra, museums, even the local public broadcasting stations. And it could not come at a better time for organizations like the Beck Center for the Arts. It's home to everything from dance classes to art exhibits. These kids are in a musical theater camp. But CEO Cindy Einhaus says the Beck Center almost went under in 2009.
If we hadn't had that funding, I'm sure that we, like many other arts organizations, wouldn't be here still.
So how did Cuyahoga County go from virtually no public support of the arts to some of the nation's highest? Megan Van Voris is with the group that pushed for a tax.
So it took us 10 years to get this.
First, voters rejected a property tax increase, so the group had to find something else.
We looked at boats, we looked at cell phones.
Cigarettes won, much to the chagrin of Ohio State Senator Bill Seitz. The Republican is all for public funding of the arts, but he's no fan of local cigarette taxes. He says there's an old saying for why the public voted for it.
Don't tax you, don't tax me, tax that fella behind the tree.
Seitz thinks this tax punishes the poor and drives people out of state to get their fix cheaper. And he says it's ironic government encourages people to quit smoking while also depending on cigarette taxes. Voters here will have to decide whether to reauthorize the tax by the time it expires in 2016. By then, cigarette sales are projected to drop, along with the taxes gained for the arts. So they may have to find another sin to tax. White wine? In Cleveland, I'm Dan Bobkoff for Marketplace.
Hey, check out our website to see the numbers, get the podcast, or just tell us what you think. Marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Financial news changes by the very minute. Domestic and global markets are crazy.
China's not about to move away from buying U.S. Treasuries.
The European Central Bank wading into the Spanish and Italian government bond market today.
The whole debt ceiling debate made us look dysfunctional. We all know that.
That's okay, though, because we're here. Marketplace. It's the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.